This is the Valley of Grace podcast, helping women reclaim their power and identity so they will know they are enough. Today's episode is entitled 10 Signs Your Narcissistic Partner is Preparing to Discard You. And this episode was recorded earlier in the week as a Facebook Live. I hope that you're blessed by it. And before the episode begins, I'd like to give a shout out to Timothy Horton for bringing the intro and outro music every week. And I'd like to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. Without further ado, here's the episode. Today with another Chatting with Coach Tina session. And today's topic is 10 signs your partner infected with the spirit of manipulation and narcissistic brokenness is getting ready to discard you. Okay. And this process could be a year and a half. It could be a 1 year period, a month period, a week, a few days, okay? Each time period is different. You have no clue of exactly when it's going to happen. What I will tell you is, once this phase starts, it's going to feel like the ride of your life, okay? So we're going to get right into it. Number one, you disrespect and dishonor yourself to the point of not knowing who you are anymore. Laban had two daughters, okay? The daughters were Rachel and Leah. Leah was the oldest, and she was probably average looking is what I'm thinking, because the Bible refers to her as having a weak eye. And then you got Rachel, who was the youngest, referred to as being beautiful, okay? Now, Jacob fell in love with Rachel, and he worked for Rachel, but he was tricked by his good old uncle Laban to marry Leah, okay? And Leah was the oldest. And although Jacob had to work those 7 hard years for Rachel, she was physically able to be with him after he was with Leah for 1 week, okay? But he still had to work the additional 7 years, okay? So this was a trick. So he ended up working 14 years just to get Leah. Long story short. So Rachel remained barren, while Leah continued having baby after baby. And after baby number 4, God temporarily closed up Leah's womb. Rachel decided to give her handmaid to Jacob to marry. And then Leah followed suit, giving her handmaid to Jacob. And after all this competition and using babies to gain self-worth, the whole craziness, Rachel eventually was able to have a baby of her own, okay? And we all know him as Joseph. But something else happened. Leah's son went in search of mandrakes, okay, for her. And these mandrakes were superstition. They were thought of as making women fertile. So he goes to search for mandrakes for his mother, okay? And you know you are in a super hot mess when your children are getting involved in your drama. You are in super hot mess stuff, okay? The two sisters, they made a deal that Leah would sell the mandrakes to Rachel. And in scripture, and this is Genesis 30 and 16 that I'm reading from, it says, "And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, 'Thus must thou come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes.'" You sign up for all kind of ungodly behavior in order to prevent this person from leaving you. Okay. And you don't know who you are anymore, and you are way out of character. As a daughter of the king, you've settled for a biblical handmaid slash concubine situation, making strange negotiations because you still need that person's approval. And your friends are asking you, "What's going on with you?" And then you're like, "I don't know." Okay, because to know what's going on with you is to have a bomb explode and you can't handle it. They are looking at you like you have literally lost your mind. Which brings us to number two, the second sign that your partner who's infected with the spirit of manipulation and narcissistic brokenness is getting ready to discard you. Number two is you get daily reminders of the crazy situation you are in. You've confided in your inner circle about the fact that he's leaving, but nothing has happened yet. They are witnessing this entire soap opera slash theater production play out. You're tired. The kids are tired. Your friends are tired of hearing the mess. Okay. They are ready for the movie to end. And they're asking you every day, "Is he still there?" And you're like, "Yeah, he's still there. He said he's leaving in a couple months." And what is their reply? "Well, he said that 5-6 months ago." And they're still looking at you like, what are you going to do in this situation? Which brings us to number three. And this is the third sign. Anything and everything is done to you to get you to put him out because he will not accept responsibility. And in Genesis 3, 11 through 14, it says, "And he said, 'Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?' And the man said, 'The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.' And the Lord God said unto the woman, 'What is this that thou hast done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.'" So not only are they refusing to take responsibility of the fact that it is their decision to leave, okay? They want to make you go crazy in the process. I don't care how strong of a person you are. If you are going from monthly, then weekly, then daily drama, this kind of drama every single day, you are going to be drained on all levels, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, even financially. It's inevitable that you're going to end up with some type of trauma or full-blown PTSD because you can't keep going on and on like this in this type of foolishness day in and day out. Their unspoken mantra is, "I'm leaving and taking everybody down with me." And we were not, as I was just talking about, we were not made to be able to actually stay in a sense of fight or flight every day, all day long. Our systems were not made to be dealing with that kind of stuff. Okay. So what are the things that that are actually being done to you? Because I said anything and everything is done for you to put them out. They got the new supply calling you. Okay. The belongings are being brought in the house. The kids are being emotionally and mentally treated a certain type of way. Letters are coming in the mail. Okay. I mean, this is happening on a daily basis. Okay. And it brings us to number four, the fourth sign that you are getting ready to be discarded. You are told, "I'll always love you, but I'm not in love with you. We can still be friends." The last thing you want to do is to sit and have a friendship with a toxic romantic partner and think it's not going to affect you. Okay? Friendship for them equals backup supply. okay? It just doesn't work that way. And if you think it does, you're dealing with one of those situations that the old folks would say when I was little, you don't believe that fat meat is greasy. In Matthew 12, 43 through 45, it says that when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and it does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and it takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it would be with this wicked generation. So once you do the work of reclaiming your power and identity, and you get caught up with your ex once again, you are inviting seven other spirits stronger than the first ones that you dealt with to come into you. After you've already cleaned yourself out from the spirit of manipulation, you're just inviting all of that, and it's going to be worse. And other than co-parenting, which that's a whole nother level and a whole nother chat, the best thing you could do is work on healing and reclaiming your power and identity, okay? And then when you wonder why it is that you're not making progress, it's because of your own doing. You're still trying to hold on and having a piece of a person. And it's like going to the grocery store. Imagine going to the freezer department. You purchase a cheesecake, okay? You go to the checkout, you pay for the whole entire cheesecake. The cashier rings it up, charges you the full price. And then before the bagger bags it up, the cashier says, hold on a minute. I got to cut a piece, give you a slice of the cheesecake. It's like, well, what do you mean you're going to give me a slice of it? That's what you're settling for when you've decided you're going to still try to be friends with your ex-toxic partner. You're going to get a piece of a situation that you don't want to have, and you're going to invite those spirits right back in, okay? But that's what you do when you continue race relationships with toxicity. You get lack on your boundaries, and you're not living in a God-honoring situation, okay? It's not good for you, and it's also not good for the kids. Number five, you find evidence that there is another supply. You start seeing your partner every few days, literally. When you go on family outings, they're playing disappearing acts, so to speak, like a magician, okay? Phone is blowing up 100 miles an hour, like a bomb has gone off. Number six, you are reminded of the insecurities you disclosed to them in the beginning. And what are these insecurities? Well, you know, when I met you, you were overweight. Yeah, you had low self-esteem when I met you. You had low self-worth when I met you. Yeah, you know, your face was all broken out with acne. And you're sitting there and you're going like, oh my gosh. And you're trying not to let these things affect you, but just like the thought of them, because you know that like, this is not good and this is stirring up some kind of feeling in you, okay? Well, you know, you did look kind of simple and dressed kind of simple. Just any old thing to belittle you and like rub it in like, I'm about to go, baby, okay? Basically, the same insecurities you had when you met them are used for the excuse as far as why they are leaving you, which brings us to number seven. They reveal some things that they never told you before. The mask is slipping on a daily basis, leaving you thinking, who in the world says stuff like that? Okay. And what are they saying? You're like, well, you know, what's being said? I always thought of myself as a ladies' man. I really wanted to leave you 5 years ago, but because you're in such a fragile state, literally, your mouth is just gaped open and you are waiting for it to literally like just hit the ground at any moment, because the things that are being said at this point, you know, they're true. But then you start thinking to yourself, like, who does some stuff like that to try to like inflict this type of pain, like just like a domino effect type of thing. You are shocked, but at the same time, like I said, you know that this stuff is true, that these things are not a lie. And you're trying not to react to them and holding on for dear life, but it's not working so well, right? But what happens is the truth about who this person really is not going to come out until they get ready to leave you, because they don't care if you know at that point who they are. They know that they're on their way out and that it's over, which brings us to number 8, stringing you and the kids along. And what does that look like? Constantly reminding you that they're leaving, proposing a cake and eat it too situation. Maybe we can go a year or two and separate and then I'll return. What that is equivalent to is saying maybe you can be backup supply. Okay? So if the new pack of batteries don't work, I still have you. Okay? That's what it is. I still think I can come back. The devil is a liar. When you honor, respect, and value yourself, okay, then they will honor, respect, and value you. Genesis 30 and 20 was when Leah thought being a baby factory would bring her the honor that she longed for in her husband, which is why she named her son Zebulon, okay, which means honor. So when you sign up for that, you're thinking, okay, maybe he can do a separation and then we'll get back together. That would seem like the normal thing to do, not in a situation of a person that has narcissistic brokenness. That is equivalent of installing a pet door, okay, and giving a pet access to go inside and out, except this is an actual person. My allergies are acting up a little bit. So anyways, that's what this is the equivalent of. You being the person like standing in the wings, so to speak, okay? In a normal situation, separation, yes. When it comes to someone that has a spirit of manipulation and narcissistic brokenness, when you say separation, that equals license to keep doing what I'm doing, but at a whole nother level, okay? And if it doesn't work, I can come right back. That's what that is. Number 9, your representation of light, growth, and truth is so far from where they are in the darkness. They would rather be with someone who is sharing in a deep set of darkness than to be with you at that moment. And in so many words, they tell you that. They say, well, you know, you're growing. You're getting deeper and deeper in the Lord. You're way over there and I'm way over here. Okay? We're at two ends of the pole. Ahab and Jehoshaphat teamed up together, and it was a situation that should have never been. God was not pleased with it, okay? And in 1 Kings 22, we read about the drama. Jehoshaphat said, will you go with me to battle at Ramoth Gilead? Okay, this is what Ahab actually said to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people, your people, my horses, your horses. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, inquire first for the word of the Lord. Now, he knew the character of Ahab. He already told him, my people, your people, my horses, your horses, and all of this. But if all of that was the case, then why in the world would he tell him to inquire of the Lord? He knew his character. Same thing with you. Okay? If you thought it was the right thing when you first hooked up with that person, after you felt like something was off, you wouldn't have called your girlfriend and said, what you think about so-and-so? What do you think about that situation? Some feel a little off, but I don't know. He does make me feel kind of good. And you intoxicated from being love bombed, okay? And then once you start getting up to the place of you asking them questions, you know it's not a good thing. Just like when Jehoshaphat teamed up with Ahab, he knew it wasn't good. So that's why he told him, maybe we can talk to somebody else. So long story short, Ahab had 400 false prophets and a lying spirit had been put in their mouths. So when he asked them, should he go into battle? They said, yeah, you're going to triumph. And Jehoshaphat is still saying, can we get somebody else to come here? So Ahab went on and took his advice. And Ahab had the person they had Micaiah brought, another prophet. And at first Micaiah was like being sarcastic and telling him, yeah, you're going to triumph and all of that. And long story short, this is my version of it. Ahab basically is like, don't play with me. What did the Lord tell you? And that's when Micaiah told him, like, you're not going to win. I saw all your men out there and they didn't have a shepherd. So think about it. A sheep without a shepherd, that's not good. So he's basically telling him, like, you're going down. And Ahab was not pleased with that. He's just like, you know what? Take him away. Put him in prison. And Micaiah said, well, you know what? if you win, then of course, then I've not spoken a word of the Lord to you. So basically he was saying like, okay, you can believe what you want to believe. So what do you think happened? Exactly what we're thinking. Ahab was killed in battle. Okay. He was not supposed to go in the first place. And the person that has a spirit of manipulation, they have lying, judging, envy, jealousy, deceit, adultery. The list goes on and on. When people are living in darkness, any light shining on that darkness is the last place they want to be. And your light is causing warfare with you, with that person who is living in darkness. Just like the alliance of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. That's a no-go in the eyes of God. Your alignment with darkness has caused spiritual warfare, and that's leading up to your discard. And it brings us to number 10, the 10th sign that your partner who is infected with the spirit of manipulation and narcissistic brokenness is getting ready to discard you. It's a fake suicide stunt as a last result to regain control, okay? And what happens is they can sense that you've got a little bit more freedom than what you had initially when you were with them. And so when they are getting ready to do this, they have to make sure whatever they do, they leave you so emotionally broken when they go out the door that the ending is so dramatic that they can have a reason. So when people say, well, what happened? Why did you leave Kathy? Why did you leave Sandy? Why did you leave Georgia? They can say, well, see, look at her. She's crazy. You see what I'm saying? Just saying, it's very sick and twisted, but this is how it works. So, and then what happens is, you know, it's premeditated. It's full of crocodile tears, etc. But they want to be able to say, see, this is why I left her, because she's crazy and she's so broken. But what people don't see is, their behavior drove you to full-blown trauma, full-blown PTSD, etc. And 9 times out of 10, if you get all the way through to this point, that is exactly what's going to happen. It is severe PTSD is what's going to end up happening if you get all the way to number 10. But remember, you are already enough. You can begin reclaiming your power and identity today. You don't have to wait till you get to the point of being fully discarded with a whole nother level of traumatic events besides the ones that you have already dealt with. Grab your keys to the kingdom and get your inheritance. Have a very, very Merry Christmas. And back, until next time.
To be sharing all of that, you took the price to give me that life. And now it's never gonna fade away. When I see I need more of him, he whispers the sweetest of mercies upon my ears. And I won't go back the way it was again. For me.